Thank you, Don. Back live on the air through BBS Radio on Wednesday, August the 14th, 2019. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in California. Another one-hour show with Winfrey and Terry Brown, located in Sedona, Arizona, tonight. If you have questions, we have answers. This is a show with the Elohim, the sources on the other side of the veil, answering questions that you ask. You can submit a question per email to questions@intelligent-infinity.com. questions@intelligent-infinity.com. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. That's how it all started. We had several people join in here. Thank you for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hello, it's Wanda up in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Welcome to you, Wanda. Who else?
Hi, it's Cecil the C60 Turban from sunshiny Seattle.
All right, Washington represented. Thank you for being here, Cecil.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry. It's Elizabeth from Mecklenburg, New York.
Is Elizabeth from New York?
Yes.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello,
hi. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And who else? Feel free to say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
And Jeannie came in too. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Anyone else? Feel free to say a name or location. All right. And welcome to all those that are listening in online through BBS. Thank you for being here.
Blessings, Terry.
Thank you.
Somebody's breathing in their mic.
Pardon?
I said someone's breathing in they're too close to their phone or something.
Probably me.
Well, if it's you, we'll forgive you.
Okay.
Especially since how you fixed the problem.
Right. Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I was just wondering if I dropped out, everything got real quiet.
Yeah, I was wondering. Anybody?
Oh, is anybody else here? Is Heise here?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay. Heise is
here. Are you still here?
So do you want to give your name and location?
Hello, would you like to say your name and location?
It's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Boy, am I prompt? Exactly 9 o'clock.
Exactly, yeah. 6 o'clock. Yes. I don't know what happened to Heise. I think he might have dropped out.
He probably dropped out.
Dropped.
Yeah.
So I'm calling from I took Paul Weiland to the emergency room and Cottonwood. So I'm calling for the helipad and so if a helicopter lands, we might hear it.
Breaking up a little bit, Terry. Couldn't make out all your words there.
I'm at the emergency room in Cottonwood, Arizona, and so I'm next to the helipad. So if if a helicopter lands, we might hit it.
Okay.
Oh, a real helicopter.
Yeah, a real helicopter.
Yeah. Wind would like
You're
that.
In the emergency room right now, Terry?
Paul Weiland, I took him there today.
Oh, okay.
He's in there now.
What are they doing to him?
Not you.
They're giving him a blood transfusion. No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm going to get the console up.
Okay.
I don't know where Heise is.
One knows about Paul.
Okay. Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Hiya, Chris.
Hey there. Hey, guys.
Hi, Chris.
Hey there.
Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Yeah, this is Lauren from Forks, Washington.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Lauren.
Everybody's rolling in now.
Hi, Roll.
Would you like to say your name and Lauren. Location?
Antonio Hi. And California.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi,
Antonio.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hello, Lauren.
Hi.
Hi, Wanda.
Wanda.
Hi, Doc.
Hello.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Sherry from Dallas. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Okay, I'm going to call back, all right? So someone okay. ran the fort.
Okay.
I use a Tom Sawyer technique on Antonio. It's really fun to answer the call, Antonio, and to greet everybody. You should try it. Terry, is Paul still on the Gerson therapy?
Yeah. Except and lunch over there, but taking him off the therapy because his platelet he won't stand.
Okay.
But, yeah. They were giving both of us poly-MVA, which goes to the mitochondria of the cells in the body. And it got it. It's got minerals and things in it that the body really needs. Gives a lot of energy. But they stop because his blood is too thin right now.
You're still breaking up, oh. Terry.
We are breaking up, Terry. Maybe you could call back in.
We got well, two or three more callers that came in.
I'm going to move my car someplace now.
Okay.
Welcome to the callers that just joined us. Would you all like to say your names and locations?
Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger.
Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, everybody.
Rudy. Welcome back, Rudy.
Hi, yes, I'm back.
Rudy, welcome.
I have the console here. I saw hi,
Rudy,
to get in. Hello.
Hi,
Heise.
He dropped out again. He fainted away again. There we go.
Welcome to the questions
hi,
and answer call. Would you like to say your name and location? Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
It's Wim.
Hi,
Wim.
Hey, Wim. Welcome.
Hi, Wim.
Hi, Wim. Thank you.
Hi, Wim.
Blessings, Wim.
Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Bob Harrelick, New York.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. Bob.
Hello.
Welcome from
welcome
New York.
Welcome, New York.
Big Apple.
Hi, another caller joined us. Would you like to say your name and location? And thank you for joining us.
Hey, Wim. Tom Sawyer, me, and he
hey, you guys watch that new show. It's going to be on there, Blood City Law. I just got in saying I'm going to be an extra. They're filming in Memphis. It's going to be NBC to start next month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they filmed the pilot and they approved it. And there's, you know, sometimes they do that and go to film somewhere cheaper like Atlanta or New Orleans, but they kept it in Memphis. So it's actually, it's kind of cool. You get $80 a day and all the food you can eat and stuff. And kind of cool.
What's it called?
Have you talk?
A City Law. It's good. Jimmy Smith and all this is going to start September 7th. And it's NBC, like, it's going to be at 9 o'clock on some Thursday nights, maybe. I don't know if they...
I was an extra in a movie once that shot up here in Chagrin Falls. It was some kind of Christmas movie with Ed Asner.
I actually had a speaking part in this thing called Tennessee Queer, but it was kind of an indie film. They cut my speaking part out, but I was still in the parade scene.
My scene, I was walking back and forth across the bridge there.
Excuse me a second. Is Terry on the line?
Yeah, there she is.
Break it up and so I moved my car to another location and I wanted to see if this was better.
You have to move your car, huh?
I'm breaking up.
Yeah, it's better, but it's not great.
Well, I'll call again.
Wait a second. You're not breaking up hardly at all. Okay.
I think if you hold your phone to your mic or mouth, it would be better.
Okay, how about that?
That's not good for her.
Better. I think that's better.
Put the phone on the windshield instead of on the seat, okay?
No.
Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and location?
Hi, greeting everyone. Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Shirley.
Hey, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley. Hi, Shirley.
How is that? Is that better?
That's good.
Great. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, good. That's on the windshield.
Problem solved.
See, when you put it up higher, it makes the reception a little bit better.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're surrounded by steel.
Right. That's right.
Do you have the air conditioner on?
Yeah, I do. It's 100 degrees.
All right.
Sounds like Texas.
We're going to start in just a moment. If you're listening on BBS, hang on.
Did you get my question today, Wynn?
When did you send it?
Shortly before the call, 10-2. I sent it the questions.
Let me look here. Yes, I got it.
Okay.
You're going to start off with Bob's questions? Two questions? Hang on. I'm just compiling all the questions that just came in. Bob in New York, you mean? Yes. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi.
You keep coming back. You must be as crazy as us.
Maybe even more crazy.
Mm-hmm. Keep coming back. It works. As they say in AA.
Join the club.
Did you guys know that I have a feeling the Ra Group was responsible for Alcoholics Anonymous?
Oh, yeah, you said that one to him. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's because who's the guy that started AA? What's his name?
Dr. Bob, or what? And Bill W.
Bill W. Bill W. had a reading from Edgar Cayce before he started AA.
Interesting.
What?
Okay. No. Terry?
Yeah.
You're ready, right?
I was ready.
Wayne, you're... You're a little crackly on the high end still. When are you positioned? Mm-hmm.
There we go. Is that better? That should be better.
So.
Thank you. Thanks for reminding me, Tom.
Muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is August 14th, 2019. Everybody, actually, usually I say Wynn and Terry. Well, Wynn in Sedona, Terry in Cottonwood. And Terry took her friend to the hospital for the emergency to get probably some blood. And she's in the parking lot of the hospital doing the call from her car. So instead of me doing the call from the car, Terry is. And of course, on this call on Wednesday nights, people submit questions to us, and we have some celestial sources that answer our questions, usually with quite a bit of wisdom, and Terry is the channel for those sources, and they identify themselves by the name, well, actually, it's Ra'an, combination of two group souls. And how do two group souls and a bunch of beings all talk?
A section of them.
A section of them. It's not the whole group.
Like, sometimes they can do a question answer, and sometimes it's an individual in the group, and that they are totally coordinated. So they choose somebody comes in that knows what they're talking about.
Now, somebody might wonder, how can so many people talk at once? Okay, and I think this is the way it works. They're in another timeline. So they can formulate an answer to a question as a group project. And by the time it comes out of Terry's mouth, there are probably a bunch of beings that had their finger in it.
They tend to be the translation unit, because like at first I had terrible trouble because I couldn't understand what they were saying because they weren't speaking English. And so they set up a translation unit that could give the concepts and translate them into English. And not only that, but sometimes they say that the English language just doesn't have enough words to cover all the concepts that you would like to give to us.
Well, and then they complain about you for not having a big enough vocabulary, right?
Oh, that too.
Right. That's a major obstacle.
Right.
Okay, so here we go.
I really search for words, you know.
Right.
To get the closest I can.
No, you do really well. I'm just teasing you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we try to overcome the hum of the motor of the car and to focus our attention here. And then we connect with each and every person on the line who wishes to be connected with. We come straight to you. We do not come through the telephone line, or we do not come through the computer. That is the voice that is coming through there, and it is quite slow. We are just really fast in connection, and it is a joy to be able to connect with each person here or who will listen to a replay or read a transcript at some other time. We are here with you. If we ever say anything that doesn't make complete sense to you, disregard it, as it is not meant for you at that time. Sometimes it has taken as much as 9 years to be able to come on these calls and come through with answers and to be able to stair-step the information so that building the groundwork and having the words to come through and build upon these concepts to be able to understand it. At first, Terry could not understand it and simply stood back and said, can you translate it? but more and more of you are beginning to comprehend, and this is a joy to see your comprehension. We want to give you the message that you're not alone, you're not isolated in some far sector of somewhere, because all is one, and it is so good to be able to communicate. We have different frequency band in general than you do. And so when we come through with our channelings, we are coming from a whole different band of frequencies, and we are stepping down to be able to relay this to you. Do you have questions?
Yes. First question is from Bob Harlech, north of New York City. And he's a friend of Lauren's, if you're tuning into him. And his question is, what is the spiritual purpose of emotion, and what is the relationship between emotion and ethics?
Thank you. Emotion is a connection. Emotion has its own vibration and its own language, its own set of knowledge, its own set of intentions that it is wishing to get across. It is a communication that has not yet gotten into the verbal range. And the communication for someone who can see it or sense it is interpreted, able to be interpreted. The information that is on the emotion is, when it is picked up and acknowledged and allowed to be spoken, one can learn very much from it. And it is its own waveform. So it's like a life form in a way, a consciousness, an existence. It's a vibration coming into existence. So sometimes it is difficult to deal with because here comes the emotion and someone might say, oh, I like this emotion, or I don't like to experience this emotion. And then if you have an emotion that you don't really care for, if you can express it, just don't try to change it or try to fix it or morph it into a better vibration. Just look at it straight the way it is and let it, let the message come through. Is that all there is? Is there more? Yes.
The other part two is there, he's asked for what is the relationship, and I should say if there's a relationship between emotion and ethics. I think there might be.
Sometimes emotion is based upon a response to ethics. And again, we look at the emotional response. If a person has a strong, say, Christian ethical code or a strong code that they believe in, and then the emotion could be connected to the code based upon the fact that someone has the code that they put in the violation, that have really set off an emotional reaction because people don't like their ethical code to be violated. If they feel very, very strongly that it should be followed. And one can say, oh my gosh, look at what that guy did. And hate, send hate waves to him. You know, it's like, how could he have done that? And then everybody hates that guy because he has really broken the ethical code of the more of the society that he lives in or the group that he is part of.
Here's another one. Emotions, there's many different emotions. There's anger, there's love, there's, what else? What's another emotion? Anger, love.
Boredom.
Boredom. Okay. Well, let's just say with anger, you could use anger to hurt another person. And you could also use... You could also use love.
Something.
What's that?
You could use it to fire your energies up to try and correct something, do something.
Right. And then you can also have love, which is a way of the emotion of love, which is a way of making someone feel good. And feel connected to you. And
well,
both of these
both
of these emotions could also hurt somebody, both anger and love. And when you hurt somebody, particularly if you do it intentionally, you might be violating ethics to do that.
When you could be bringing havoc down on your own self, like you do something and everybody gets really mad and puts you in jail, condemned you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Next question. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. This is from Antonio, who saw really tiny, colorful orbs a few times. And who or what were they? I get a ringing in both left and right ear, and I think something is trying to contact me. What can I do to be able to hear what is said?
Just set everything aside that you are working on and just concentrate quietly and alone and see if you can increase or decrease your frequency of listening to see if you can pick it up. Orbs are life forms that tend to take on a spherical shape for travel. Ghosts generally have the form of the being, that person that they were before they passed on. But then the spherical shape is very protective of a shape that one can use for travel. These would be forms of life that weren't necessarily human, and that were attempting to communicate either between themselves or with you, but just see, there's a way of increasing your range of perception or decreasing the range or moving into a higher range of perception or a lower range. It's just like adjusting your ears to hear farther or closer, or your eyesight to refocus to see closer or farther. You can learn to adjust your range of perception of frequency.
Okay. Next question is, okay, this person didn't want to give his name, but let me just give a clue. Okay, he's identifying himself by another name here, and I was supposed to tell you who it was, so you didn't filter it out. So I'm not going to say his name. I'll say the name he wants me to say, but let me say he lives in Washington, and he's very smart. Okay.
Okay.
And he's. He says, this is I'm probably not going to say his name right, Tietsu. It's been quite the outlandish educational experience here at the 3D Ground Zero density. Okay. Would appreciate your candid perspective, feedback, and any originations to also include the other four realms I am aware of to matters of mutual interest that you wish to share.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we said, when you said you didn't want to see your name, we said we don't blame you.
All right.
Yes. We see that you are familiar with some of the higher ranges, not only the different bands higher frequency, but of a different, location where each being was indeed very advanced and developed. You have stumbled into an area of a sector of the galaxy, which is very backward, and their perceptions are blunted by their horrible past, and they have gotten we look for the word. They've gotten off track. They've gotten defocused, and their focusing ability has been corrupted by their past in taking on unwanted energy. They have been corrupted, and we don't mean that in a, we just mean that in the sense of they have taken on energies that are not them, that they think are them, and then they're it prevents them from thinking clearly. So you indeed are a bright light in this area. And some people recognize that. We see that in the past you have run into an area that is not like the area that you are in now, that was very, very perceptive and had knowledge beyond anything that you are running into now. And the ability to perceive and to communicate a whole different language that is descriptive of things which there is no language for in the English language or the Earth languages at this time.
Okay, thank you. Next question. Question from Valerie in Livermore. 3 days ago, my father came to me in a dream.
Yes.
A bit different than a dream, though. Hi, Dad. Whatever we talk about, if he shows up. Maybe he won't show up, but just in case. 3 days, I found myself at his house, right in front of the porch. My father walked up and said, "Hey, Valerie, do you have a minute? I was bent over doing something," and I replied, "Hold on, I'm busy." Just a few seconds later, I turned around and I asked him, "What's up, Dad?" "Well, I was talking to your aunt last night, and she wanted to know if she should give your cousin M&M's. It just hit me, because my aunt just passed, and my cousin used to eat M&M's for breakfast. So I thought, wait, she's dead. Oh, my God, so are you. But you're standing right here in the flesh."
Say that again, last two sentences.
"So I thought, wait, she's dead," meaning her aunt.
"Yes.
Oh, my God." No, meaning her father. "Oh, my God, so are you. But you're standing right here in the flesh, talking to me. Poof,
yes.
Now you're in the driveway, and he says, 'There's something I need to tell you.' I don't know what he said, but it triggered me to ask, 'Why do I have to wear two coats?' His reply was, 'To make the illusion more clear.'" Okay.
Yeah, it's like everyone is wearing two coats. It's the mental, the body, the mind. It makes for very vivid, lucid image when you put on more than one coat. if you get our drift.
Mm-hmm. Our question was, what is the illusion? This very clear one I see right now, or what else could he be talking about?
In the life that everyone lives, they have more than one coat that they put on, and it makes life and the illusion that they walk around with more vivid, more, it goes through more layers, and it becomes more real or existing more because it's duplicated within the different coats as one looks out through their different emotional body, mental body, the different bodies that put together to make up the person.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Valerie. Next question is from, let's see here. Cedra. And what time is it? Okay, we have time. It's a long question. I wish you guys could laser these things down so it's like three or four sentences in the maximum. About a month ago, I had a very strange and disconcerting dream. In the dream, I felt as though I was awake and not in the phase of sleep usually associated with dreaming. Everything felt clear and sharp, vivid. It felt real, almost contrived. Or an imposter dream. An imposter dream. During the dream, I got into a round silver ball, which was meant to be an elevator, but I got trapped in between the doors, and I got separated from the persons that I was with. When the ball stopped, I got out and ended up going into a building, and I was standing at the reception desk. There were hypnagogic images in the form of people having very clear conversations with me. When I looked to my left or right, it was a signal for a person to appear. I did not know who was going to appear, which made it unsettling. I wanted to leave the dream, but I couldn't work out how, and I was waiting for cue, but none came. Then my higher self spoke to me, which has never happened before, and was very comforting, and said, Cija, you are having a dream, and you can leave anytime you want. After that, I decisively left the building. I got back into the silver ball and decisively intended myself back in the place I was at the start of my dream. Shortly thereafter, I was woken up by my alarm clock. And I was awake for 15 minutes. Now I felt I was living in another dream, only this time it was low resolution version. Reality felt fuzzy, dumbed down, and a lesser version of my dream state. Would you please shed some light on this experience? Why did my higher self talk to me? Why did the dream feel disconcerting? How did I end up in this strange phase of sleep? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. You, in the ball, were being transported to different areas of consciousness, and you were becoming focused. However, message we see would be that you are in control, although it seems like you are trapped into this circumstance or that circumstance. However, you have the ability to shut it off or move into it or move into another area of it. You are in control, and your higher self knows that you are in control and that you do not need to be trapped. It is a feeling that is generated that something is trapping you. However, you can move in and out of circumstances. You do not need to be trapped by them. That is our what we see, but evaluate it. But evaluate this.
Thank you. Next question is. So we got Valerie. Is from Edina. This question is related to my last question regarding my visit to a planet where the beings are similar to Pleiadians. How do I figure out where to go and what to do in my sleeping state travels? I have been visiting so many places where I get to see all kinds of amazing beings. Most of the time, and I seem to be really busy every night going somewhere. Could you tell me what is my personal soul plan or goal when I go out to other realms, planets, or locations in general? Why am I going to all these places when I am sleeping? Do I have a job or assignment that I am always trying to work out?
Give us a moment. You, in the past, have had a job where you would be moving from planet to planet. There did not always used to be the quarantine and the isolated Earth realm. There used to be interplanetary travel, and we see that you are reliving to some degree past job that you did have to go from planet to planet to interface to learn and report about different societies and how they could be helpful to other societies, that there were things in that society that were not generally known to other societies. And we see that it may have been a very exciting time, and therefore you are re-exploring it.
Thank you. Next question. When you're sleeping and you see yourself going to other planets, are you actually going there? Are there beings on those planets that relate to you?
Is that Edgina's question?
No, that's my question.
Oh, yes. Part of it is memory. and to relive some of the experiences that you have had previously, and to re-experience them, and to learn more about them, which was the goal at the time, to travel to other places and to learn more, partly the reliving of past experiences as the current experiences, although there is some visitation, is more the combining of a brief visitation with the past experiences. That is another aspect, that there are changes from then to now in the planet that you are visiting.
Thank you. Do people ever go to the heaven realm while they're sleeping?
Yes, they can. They may do that. It is possible, for instance, to go there and to visit members that of the family that have passed over, or friends that have passed over, or to just seek them out and then come back home. It is possible, yes.
Okay. And let's see, it's 6:47. Let me see. I think we got our last question for tonight.
I got my question. You didn't ask my question yet.
Oh, I didn't get your question. I see here. Don, I must be prejudiced on you, huh? If three steps to manifestation are intention, vision, and persistence, could the sources explain more about the vision aspect?
Could you repeat the question?
In our early Elohim channelings, there was a channeling that said the three steps, I don't think they use the word manifestation, Don. I think they use the word, I was saying, how can someone graduate? How can someone change? And I think this was that answer. It wasn't manifestation. But if one wants to change, then it was said you need to have intention, vision, and persistence. And could sources explain more about the vision aspects? Thank you.
So the question is about free sex?
Free sex? no, it's not. I don't know where that came from. Can you hear okay?
Well, it sounded like you were talking about free sex, and for manifestation you need intention and vision. And
No. Nothing to do with sex, okay?
Okay. Perhaps.
Well, in one of the early sessions of the Elohim, I asked the question, if someone wants to graduate this realm, what can they do to help that along? And the answer was intention, vision, and persistence.
Yes.
Now, Don asks, could the sources explain more about vision aspects?
Yes. When you have a goal, if you can envision the goal right around you taking place at the time, this can add to the potential that it will happen. If you can perceive it as if it is true, the more that you can get it in your mind that this is indeed the case, it's where I want to go, we are working with this right now. If you envision it as a goal, yet if you're talking about graduating the realm, you probably do not have within your mind the vision of what it is like to graduate the realm. But if you could read the Law of One, and you can get an idea in your mind, a visual even idea, then this will make it more likely to happen.
Thank you. You know, we've had many discussions about what it's like on the other side. When you die, what happens to you? And I think if you study those things that we've talked about, it creates a vision of what it's like to exist in the fourth dimension or the fifth dimension. Okay? And am I correct, Source, in what I'm saying?
Yes. And also studying about the Law of One, and studying about the different dimensions are and what might be your goal. Like, what might it be to be a part of the Ra group? Because that's one place a person could graduate to. What might it be to be a part even of the Elohim group? That may be another place one could graduate to, although it is of a higher frequency. And the individuals, when they become a part of the Ra group, are more similar, and they carry some of the lower frequencies of Earth with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll throw in one more question very quickly. And we want to start Whole Planet Healing. If you're on this call and would like to attend Whole Planet Healing, it starts at 712-770-4340, pin 250513. And my question is, I was reading on Whole Planet Healing an excerpt from the Ra material, and it was talking about sex, and it was talking about if I remember the exact language. There's a place in sex where there is a huge energy exchange, and then there's a place where it's more of a physical act, okay? And could you share a little bit more about how to get to that place?
More of a which place?
Yeah, I'm just looking it up because I'll read it exactly. I thought it was, okay. One thing they said was, okay. Since venereal disease is in large part a function of the thought forms of a distorted nature, which are associated with sexual energy blockage, the venereal disease is almost entirely the product of mind-body-spirit complexes interaction after the veiling. Which is very interesting. They're saying that not all sex can cause you to catch venereal disease. And I don't know. I don't think 656, I don't think I have time to go into it. Anything more you want to say on that? Maybe I'll ask it next week.
Yes, ask it next week.
Okay.
At some point in the future, perhaps on a Sunday, we would like to talk about the reason prayer works.
Okay, we will talk about it. You know, we asked about that very early on, if you recall. It's even in the Creator God book. But it's good to reiterate it and see if there's anything new. Okay.
Put it from another level.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for being here. We're going over the whole planet healing. We're going to start right away. And let me just mute everybody. And
unmuted.